Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. So it's Brexit again. We had Jeremy Corbyn's big Brexit speech yesterday, and the reaction in some quarters has been very positive. We've had members glad of the softening of the party's approach with the backing of a customs union. And we've also had some warm words from business as well, haven't we?
Yes, Jeremy Corbyn has received a lot of plaudits from business for giving a clear direction and for suggesting that a customs union arrangement is the best option for British business. And this has sent Liam Fox out on the attack today as a result, although I think it's been slightly overwritten that he's turning on business for supporting Corbyn. But at the same time, you can sort of understand, even though you wouldn't want if you were Liam Fox, you wouldn't want to be in the position that you're in, where you're having to complain that businesses are praising Labour so much. It's a bit like someone sort of saying, oh, I never get invited to the pub, why don't you invite me to the pub, and then turning up and being really boring. But actually, you can understand why he might want to point out that in lots of other ways, Jeremy Corbyn is not particularly pro-business.
And James, this is, as Isabel points out, this is slightly topsy-turvy. It kind of goes against your natural instincts here that Jeremy Corbyn right now is seen as being more pro-business in a way, a man who wants 21st century socialism. How do you think the Tories are going to respond to this, other than getting angry?
I think the Tory strategic calculation is that by the time of the next general election, the Brexit debate will be far enough in the past, but this won't still be a live issue. And I think that's their hope, is that they can start making an economic risk argument against Corbyn without business making these kind of noises off, because Brexit will be done. Whether Brexit, certainly in so far as the customs union, is done by then is, I think, a whole another question. I think there is an interesting question here about Corbyn, which is, it's quite clear what the tactical appeal to him of doing this is. The big question I have is, does this cut against the authenticity that is such a strong selling point for him? The idea that Jeremy Corbyn, you know, he is a reaction to it against this kind of Blair Cameron era of politics. And does this look like he is triangulating? I'm kind of torn between saying this is very clever politics and that I can see all the ways in which it helps him, but does it cut against the kind of the big essential selling point of the Corbyn brand?
And Isabel, what has the reaction been like within the Labour Party from Labour MPs to this speech?
Well, obviously, as in any party, everyone's got their own different view on Brexit. So he wasn't going to delight the whole party in the same way as Theresa May cannot possibly keep Anna Soubry and Jacob Rees-Mogg happy at the same time. But it's been interesting seeing a number of MPs, such as Chukwuemeka, who've really been pushing for a shift on a customs union arrangement, are happy. But obviously, there are a lot of Labour MPs who wish that Corbyn had gone further and had talked about the single market as well. And so you had people like Pat McFadden yesterday who were complaining about that. They're also quite unhappy about the use of this Brexit dividend, because they feel that is quite disingenuous. Again, you saw Pat McFadden saying that Labour really needs to be honest with itself and with the country about the costs of Brexit and about whether actually a Brexit dividend is something that the country would end up having, or whether actually the country will end up being damaged economically as a result. Then, even though you describe her as a moderate, probably as someone who largely agrees with Pat McFadden on lots of other things, Caroline Flint is very angry because she thinks that this is going to upset her constituents who are worried about immigration and don't want to be close to the European Union. So you've got disagreement within the ranks, even of those who tend to band together to oppose Corbyn about this. I think James's point about the authenticity is so interesting, because I wonder whether we've got to the point with, certainly with Jeremy Corbyn's supporters in the Labour Party, where in a sense he can do no wrong, and this is a repairing of the one big qualm that they had, which was that he isn't sufficiently pro-European for them. And, you know, if you look at all the polls of Labour members, they do back a much softer Brexit than the one that Corbyn had been supporting up to this point. But I think actually for them, the appeal of doing something that may topple the government in terms of this Anna Soubry amendment on a customs union arrangement to the trade bill is such a powerful temptation that I can't imagine any opposition leader, or indeed any opposition party's members, thinking that it would be a good idea to steer away from this.
was very struck by what Isabel said about the pressure that is going to come from Jeremy Corbyn on the single market from those in the Labour Party who want him to sign up for that. And I thought if you read the speech, it was almost him deliberately trying to burn his boats on the beach by talking about state aid rules, all sorts of things that the single market does that he doesn't like. E.g., you've pushed me this far, but I'm not going to go any further. You could see him almost kind of digging his heels in preemptively against the next push on the single market.
And also sort of trying to link his new Jerusalem that he wants to build to his stance on the single market so that members find it morally more difficult to be unhappy with him.
Now, moving on to the Conservatives and their roadmap to Brexit, it's Liam Fox's turn today to take to the stage and give us a speech, one of many speeches we've had. And this one's going to be on basically Liam Fox fighting for his job, as he's going to tell us about the virtues of free trade and why Britain needs to leave the customs union. If it doesn't, he doesn't really have a job. It hasn't gone completely to plan today, James, has it? Because we had Martin Donnelly formerly from Liam Fox's department, basically say that leaving the single market and customs union is like swapping a free course meal for a packet of crisps.
This is obviously a broadside designed to kind of sink Liam Fox's speech before it's been delivered. I think it raises a very interesting question, though, because I mean, there's a big decision for these former mandarins, which is they can either get very upset when people question the impartiality of a civil service. They can have a real go at Jacob Rees-Mogg. Or they can speak out like this. Because when they speak out like this, and you see Peter Ricketts from formerly the Foreign Office weighing in behind him, you are making so clear your political point of view. This isn't a kind of... And also, I think the crisp analogy reveals something else. This is an attack designed to be heard. This isn't a discussion about gravity models and trade. This is designed to be put in language that can go at the top of the news bulletins. And I think as a group, they have a choice. They can either speak out like this, but then raise huge questions about what the civil service really thinks about Brexit, or they can choose to bite their tongue and help maintain the civil service's reputation for impartiality.
I just love the number of unhealthy eating analogies that are going round to do with Brexit. So we have your cake and eat it, and the idea that you'd swap a packet of crisps and have that instead of a three-course meal. And if I'm honest, I really love crisps, and I think you can get some really excellent meal replacement crisps, such as Manchego with lime, which is a real weakness of mine. But it is, as James says, just to get back off my unhealthy eating habits, it is a very good way of getting big attention by talking about food, basically, in relation to Brexit, because people take notice, whereas they don't take notice when you start talking about tariffs.
And in that note, anyone who is today attending Liam Fox's speech has been gifted a free packet of crisps by the pro-EU campaign group Open Britain, who are gifting crisps as a reminder of this.
They didn't look like the sort of crisps I'd swap for a meal, though.
It has to be McCoy's for me. Anyway, thank you, James. Thank you, Isabel. And we have a special subscription offer at the moment of 12 issues for £12, along with a free ticket to see Rod Liddell speak at the London Palladium for one night only. That's on the 15th of May. And you can subscribe to this special offer if you go to spectator.co.uk/Liddell. That's LIDDLE, not the bargain supermarket.